So, as Shaina Oppenheyer is reporting, despite all the international condemnation, the Israeli government is pressing ahead with that plan to take over Gaza City and divide the West Bank. As Finance Minister Smotrich said, erasing the idea of a Palestinian state from the map. And this despite Hamas apparently accepting the latest peace proposals. There's also growing opposition to these plans in Israel. And amongst them, our next guest, the former deputy head of Israel's National Security Council, Eran Etzion. Eran Etzion, good morning to you. The first stages of the Gaza City takeover have begun, we're hearing. If implemented, how do you see these moves playing out in Gaza and the West Bank in the days and weeks ahead?
First of all, we need to note, as you started out by saying, that this is a highly controversial plan in Israel. It is controversial amongst the Israeli public. It is controversial between the political echelon and the highest military command, including the chief of staff, who at some point reportedly around the cabinet table called it a death trap for Israeli soldiers entering Gaza. And obviously it is highly controversial abroad. So against this backdrop, the Israeli government is pushing ahead because Netanyahu has a very clear agenda of perpetuating the war, taking control of the entire Gaza Strip and evacuating its population, at least in the long run, via transferring them to other countries. And there are efforts to that effect, even though no country so far has accepted the idea in practical terms. And Trump, who was the one that first proposed this idea, has, at least as it seems, backed away from it. So we have a massive, in terms of the actual military plan, it is a massive plan with a very large number of reservists being enlisted. Those same reservists who've been, most of them serving for hundreds of days in the last year and a half, something which is unprecedented in Israel's history and has exacted an enormous price from these individuals and collectively. So there are multiple problems with that plan on every level, on the diplomatic level, strategic level, military level, economic level, the internal military level. But I guess most of all, it's the overall strategic aim where more and more Israelis have now fully understood that this is not about Israel's national interest, but about Netanyahu's personal interest and about a messianic agenda of the very, very deep extreme right in the Israeli government, which is a minority in Israel.
It may be a minority, but they're in power. The chief of staff of the IDF, as you say, calling the Gaza plan a death trap. 60,000 reservists being called up for it. Is it mission impossible?
No, it's not mission impossible. In pure military terms, actually, it's not, you know, I hesitate to say it's not really a military challenge, depending exactly how you want to define it, and we don't have the time to go into the granularity of it. But for an Israeli, for an army like the Israeli army, to take over Gaza, the entire Gaza Strip is 360 square kilometers, okay, which is very, very small. And Gaza City in and of itself, obviously, is much, much smaller. Whereas it does host more or less 800,000. There are different estimates how many residents are still there, anywhere from, I don't know, 600,000 to maybe even 1 million. So that is a challenge in terms of the number of people that are there. But the actual territory of the Gaza City is minute, and it's not really a problem for the Israeli army to take it over physically. However, once it is taken over, as we know from many other instances of armies conquering cities, there's a huge difference between being present in every part of the city and actually gaining total control of it and eliminating any resistance. So that's going to take a long, long, long time. And as we know, even in West Bank cities where Israel has been present since 1967, there are still terrorists, and definitely in Gaza cities that Israel erased to the ground. Just yesterday, for example, in Khan Yunis, which is a southern Gaza city that Israel totally erased, there was an incident where 15 Hamas terrorists sprung out from one of the tunnels and were able to surprise an Israeli military contingency. So this kind of guerrilla warfare will continue for years unless there is a political settlement and an alternative Palestinian rule of Gaza.
And again, it being reported that Hamas has apparently accepted the latest peace proposals, although no formal response from Israel yet. What the finance minister, Smotrich, said about erasing the idea of a Palestinian state from the table and these latest moves in the West Bank and Gaza City.
Yes, is that it's very achievable? Important to erasing the two-state solution, you mean? Is that achievable? That's the question?
Yes.
That's an excellent question, and that is actually the primary question that hangs over this entire conflict since its inception on October 7th and actually before. Because the entire condition of Gaza and the entire intricate relationship, shall we call it that, between Netanyahu and Hamas and the financing of Hamas by Qatar under the request of Netanyahu, all of that was actually designed exactly to do that, to eliminate any prospect of a two-state solution by separating Gaza and the West Bank. So it has been Netanyahu's strategy for over 30 years, even though his rhetoric sometimes mimicked, quote-unquote, some sort of support for variations on the theme of a two-state solution. He was always against it, and he always wanted to annihilate this concept from the face of the earth. Unfortunately, he has advanced slowly but surely, and now it is coming to a very critical point in time, whereas Smotrich is correct when he identifies, from his perspective, a historic opportunity to really put an end to this notion by erasing Gaza, expelling its population, annexing the West Bank, annexing Gaza, and so on. So it is, perhaps for the first time in decades, a real prospect. And whether or not it will materialize depends to a large extent on the so-called international community. And we understand that the Trump administration is the first ever American administration that not only is not in favor of a two-state solution, but one can safely say he's aiding and abetting Netanyahu and Smotrich in erasing it from the face of the earth. And, you know, he famously said, Trump, in his first term in office, one state, two state, whatever they decide, he doesn't care. And even though the first Trump plan in his first term was a variation on a two-state solution, he's not revisiting it now by any means. And as we said before, he's calling for the expulsion, or at least called for the expulsion of 2.3 million Palestinians from Gaza and making it into a Riviera. The U.S. allegedly taking over Gaza, whatever that means and whatever he thought when he said it once or twice. So we have for the first time an American government which stands with Netanyahu and against the entire world, being represented by the French-Saudi initiative that was presented a couple of weeks ago and will be presented again in the UN General Assembly in a month or so in a high-level meeting with a very serious push, which is kind of tries to be a counterweight to this overall situation and salvaging the two-state solution with a detailed plan backed by 150 countries or more. So the battle is raging. And again, while for the first time it seems that there is a real prospect for those who wish to annihilate the two-state solution, there is a pushback from the international community. And one should say that also with respect to the Israeli public, even though one cannot say that there is overwhelming support for the two-state solution, and since October 7th it has dwindled, Israelis overall do not wish to see a perpetual state of war and do wish to see a resolution to the conflict. So that's where we are.
Okay. Appreciate you talking to us this morning. That's Eran Atzion.